Yay, good morning.
Good morning.
Yay, good morning.
Good morning.
Okay, there we go. A little there, much better. Thank you very much. Welcome to worship. It is great for you all to be with us. Here's what I know. This is, I always have fun with this. I sit down in the front pew. Each day it's like the Sunday miracle. I sit down in the front pew. We worship. We all stand up together. And then I turn around and there's like twice as many of you. That's just how it goes. So something about the way you who come on time sing causes God to multiply the people of God. It's totally you. You who got here on time, you sing and Jesus just multiplies it. It's really, really cool. So would you please stand and let's gather together and worship, shall we?
Father in heaven, we thank you and praise you that your love endures forever and you are faithful. When we stop to think about it and really contemplate it, words fail us. We just thank you for the abundance that you've poured out upon us. We ask you forgiveness for times we have squandered our blessings or been ungrateful. But we just thank you that you are such a good, good Father. And we thank you for your presence here with us this morning. And we offer you this hour of worship. And we ask it in Jesus' powerful name. Amen.
Loving Lord, that is our prayer this morning. That you would speak to us through your word, through your spirit. That each of us and all of us together would hear from your word. Hear from your spirit the words of life that enable us to trust you more profoundly, to live more courageously, and to give ourselves away more generously. Bless your word. Bless what I share from it this morning. For your glory's sake, we pray. Amen. Our text this morning is Exodus Chapter 16, beginning at verse 13. If you were with us last week, I shared how the people of God had been out in the wilderness for a month. They were getting frustrated, anxious, worried, and they began to reflect nostalgically about how much better life was back in Egypt. And they said, in living in that anxiety about the way things used to be, fearful about what's happening in the present, they projected that they were going to starve to death. They were so mad at God and so mad at Moses and so mad at Aaron, blaming all the those who had led them into this moment to say, it would be better if we just died back there because now we're out here and we're going to starve to death. And here in Exodus chapter 16, we hear a description of how God actually has a different plan in mind for them. In the evening, quails came up and covered the camp. So they had some protein in the evenings. And in the morning, there was a layer of dew around the camp. When the layer of dew lifted, there on the surface of the wilderness was a fine, flaky substance as fine as frost on the ground. When the Israelites saw it, they said to one another, "What the heck is that?" For they did not know what it was. Moses said to them, "It is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat. This is what the Lord has commanded. Gather as much of it as each of you needs, an omer, which is about 4 quarts, to a person according to the number of persons, all providing for those in their own tents." The Israelites did so, some gathering more, some less. But when they measured it with an omer, those who gathered much had nothing over, and those who gathered little had no shortage. They gathered as much as each of them needed. And Moses said to them, "Let no one leave any of it over until morning." But they did not listen to Moses. Some left part of it until morning, and it bred worms and became foul. And Moses was angry with them. Morning by morning they gathered it, as much as each needed, but when the sun grew hot, it melted. So I entitled this sermon, Just Bread, because that's all they got. Just bread. Well, they got quail too, but, you know, just bread. And I come back to this story in my own life time and time again because I am convinced that there is a deep spiritual reality invested in this little passage of Scripture that we as not just Christians, not just followers of God, but as human beings, we need to claim this and own it. That the God of the universe, the God who created, some would argue, created all of the expansive universe just so that there would be the perfect conditions for there to be one little blue rock upon which human beings could exist, where life could thrive, where we, with all creation on this planet, could flourish and experience the love of God. That this God who did all that creation work actually could keep us all sufficiently fed and clothed and housed and taken care of. That all of us, each and every one of us, will have enough. What a concept. Enough. Costco does not thrive on the concept of enough. Black Friday doesn't go anywhere if we all believe in enough. Cyber Monday means nothing to people who have enough. You following me so far? But God promises enough. And the wilderness, which has been the theme that I've been playing with for you, with you all for the last month now, actually a little over a month, right? The concept of wilderness. Wilderness is that place that God leads us to so that we can be grateful for enough. And what I love about this story is the way in which it describes really clearly that they just got bread, what they called manna, which was short for what the heck is it? We've been eating what the heck is it for 40 years. By the end of their time in the wilderness, for 40 years they had been sustained on this manna. And throughout the rest of the scripture, they'll constantly call back to this. Remember how God provided for our ancestors, our mothers and our fathers, in the wilderness with the manna, and then nobody went hungry, and nobody's shoes wore out. I've got a pair of Crocs that are now like 11 years old. They were all wearing Crocs. I'm telling you, right? This is what God must have given them. He must have given them Crocs because those things are forever. Anyway, it's just bread. And what I love about how it describes how this bread that they have to sustain them is just enough, just in time, and just for right now. It's just enough, just in time, and just for right now. What does it mean that it's just enough? Well, the way the story describes it, it says that it shows up and everybody's to gather it. And they gather it and you can already pick up in people's minds and hearts what's happening for folks, right? That some people are gathering as much of it as they can. And some, they're a little lazy. They don't quite gather as much. But the story tells us that no matter how hard they worked, no matter how much effort they exerted, no matter what happened, they always measured it out and everybody had an omer. They all had about 4 quarts. Enough to make some sort of a bread-like substance, which they would, you know, probably into cakes, and that would sustain them for the day. Each person had enough. And I can only imagine, right, that the first time that they saw this stuff and they said, this is what we're going to eat, huh? Okay, well, I better get it. I better gather as much of it as I can because I don't know. I might run out. I don't know. Somebody else might get mine. I don't know. There might not be enough to go around. And you can sense, can't you, the scarcity mentality that God is beginning to confront. And what I find amazing about the scarcity mentality is how pervasive it is, even in our culture today. Can I get an amen? Amen. That we are still convinced, at this very moment, with refrigerators overflowing with Thanksgiving leftovers, that there's not enough to go around. We're still convinced that we can't actually feed everybody and clothe everybody and house everybody, even though we know that there's plenty of material, that there's, right, even at this moment, there's mountains of clothes that are being left to go to waste out in the Walmart parking lot up in Butte County, and that if all that stuff got swept away, if that Walmart had been burned down, they'd just build another one and fill it with more stuff. We know there's plenty. And yet we still have leaders who try to teach us, try to convince us that there's not enough. And you should be afraid. And you should follow me because I know there's not enough. And I'll make sure you get yours. And that doesn't happen just here in the United States, the wealthiest country that has ever, ever existed. It happens everywhere. And this story stands in stark contrast to that. This story says God provides enough for everyone. Just enough. Just enough. Gather as much as you want, but you'll have just enough. I was talking with a friend who, he described the story about when his pastor challenged him to tithe. Pastor said, look, just try it out for 3 months. Try tithing for 3 months, and if it doesn't work out, stop. Just don't do it anymore. And so he says, you know what I did? I just tried it. I decided I was going to tithe. So for 3 months I tithed, and he says, you know what? It worked. At the end of each month, I had enough, and I was still broke. I was just as broke as I was before, but I was as broke as I ever was, and I got to tithe, and I got to put my trust in the Lord. That's what Jesus is calling us to as disciples, amen? He's calling us to trust in Him that He is enough. I am the bread of life. I'm enough. I'm enough. It's just enough. And I think about that when I look in my life and I begin to feel that tinge of scarcity working inside of me. And I come back to the story and go, okay, no, it's enough. God's providing just enough. Not more than I need, lest I don't trust in Him anymore, but just enough. And that ties very closely to the second part, which is just in time. It's just in time. Every single morning it shows up. Every single morning, without fail, for 40 years, we'll hear that the people of God get up and they gather it, and there it is. The sun's going to come up. It's all going to melt. But for it's just enough and just in time. I've been sharing this with you. I probably said this to you a couple of weeks ago. As I was coming to this season of my life where I was going to run out of resources, God shows up, provides this wonderful opportunity for me to be able to serve alongside you. And I said, I keep telling people, God's timing is perfect and obnoxious. It's obnoxious. I can't even believe this. Why? Why would God do this? Why would God invest all this time and energy just to freak me out? When He could have totally told me in advance. He could have totally set me up. He could have totally convinced me that it would have been okay. Instead, at just the right time, God shows up. And how many times have you had that happen in your life? Can you tell a story in your own life? Raise your hand. If you can raise your hand, say, yep, there was a time when I was like, I was sure I was going to run out, and just in time it came. Me, huh? Just me? Three people? Four people? Guess what, friends? This is why God's brought you into the wilderness. He's going to teach you this. Church, He's going to teach you what it means to actually trust in Him. Just enough. For us as a church, we're going to have just enough. Would you like to have more? Good. Now we're getting some honesty out of you. Yeah. You'd like to have more, wouldn't you? We'd like to have more money. We'd actually like to have more people in the pews, right? We'd like to have more people in the choir. We don't really need more awesome musicians. I mean, these guys are awesome, right? We're good on that. But we could use more. More would certainly be better. And this story says to us, no, more is actually not better. What you need is enough. and just in time. And when you need it, if we need more of the people in the choir, and by the way, check in your bulletins, we need more people for the choir, then it comes just at the right time. I don't know about you, but it just challenges me over and over again to think about whatever my sense of timing is, whatever I'm grasping, whatever I'm clinging to, that God is inviting me into a whole new sense of freedom. I wonder how long it took the people of Israel. What was that window of opportunity from when they woke up every morning and said, oh my gosh, there it is again. Amazing. To, yep, there it is, just like it always is, and we can trust it. To, there it is, we trust it, and we take it for granted. How long a period was that? From shock to gratitude to this is our new normal, and it's always been like this. Can you relate to what I'm saying? I think about my kids. I think about how little money they survive on. I think about when I was a college kid and I was making minimum wage. And I think, I never missed a meal. How did that happen? How did I get enough? There was just enough. When I was a college student, there was just enough. And now, if I tried to live on what a college student lives on, I'd lose my mind. And yet, we just call it our new normal, right? We just call it our new normal. And what God is inviting the people of Israel to do is experience a new normal in which they are now dependent upon God, a gracious, loving, providing God, and not on Pharaoh. He's building into them a healthy and appropriate dependence. A dependence on him instead of on some other structure, some other ruler, some other power. And that doesn't happen overnight. That doesn't happen all at once. That only happens as we experience God providing for us. Just bread, just enough, just in time. And beginning to recognize, okay, it's happening just in time, just in time, just in time. And then you notice it was just for right now. Just for right now. Of course, people tried to gather more. But it actually didn't turn out to be more. It was just the same amount. Of course, they doubted that it would show up the next day and the next day and the next day. But they began to understand, yep, there it is. It's okay. But then there was always somebody, some entrepreneurial spirit. Somebody who thought to themselves, you know what? I think I could corner the market on manna. So I'm going to gather a bunch. I'm going to gather it all up because I'm pretty sure tomorrow maybe it won't be there, or not as much, and I'm going to need to kind of have a little bit in reserve. Maybe for me, maybe to trade, but I'm going to need some more. But what does the story say? The story says is if they gathered, if they didn't eat it all, if they decided to hoard it, hide it, try to hold on to it, protect it, it rotted. Immediately. It totally goes bad. And Moses got angry. He should have put that on a t-shirt, right? And Moses got angry again. Moses got frustrated again. Because Moses had been out in the wilderness for 40 years. He knew what wilderness life was like. He knew he had walked with God long enough to see that God was faithful. God had led them through so much. It wasn't a hard thing for God to provide manna that was going to be just enough, just in time, and just for right now. The living in the just for right now, I don't know about you, but this is the hardest part for me. It's the hardest part for me to be able to say, I have what I need, and I have enough for right now, and I'm not supposed to try to make this last longer. I'm not supposed to try to figure out how to work some angle. I'm supposed to live in complete dependence and trust in God on this. It starts to do amazing things to your head. Because it invites me, and hopefully it invites you, to consider the possibility that if I've got just enough, it's just in time and it's just for right now, then I should squander it beautifully. I should just let it go. I should hold on to it really loosely. I should have really open hands about this because it's going to come, it's going to go. More will come, more will go. And if I can be part of this enormous, beautiful circle of generosity that God is inviting me into, if I can live in complete dependence on Him, all of a sudden I am fearless. All of a sudden I am free. I can just be open-handed with what I have. And I can give to who has need. I can not worry about what's going to happen tomorrow. I think Jesus may have said something about that several times. Do not worry about what you will eat or what you will drink. The pagans, they worry about those things. But your Heavenly Father knows what you need. And you being sinners, you being so awkwardly human, even you, if your child asks you for bread, you don't give a stone. If your child asks for an egg, you don't give them a scorpion. If you who are evil do good things for your kids, how much more will your Heavenly Father provide for you? Jesus is calling right back to manna. He's doing a major callback to that. Look, God kept your ancestors alive in the wilderness for 40 years. Put them in some really stylish Crocs. He took care of them. He can take care of you. I'm saying this to us, friends, because there are things that we might be holding on to. Traditions, habits, values, ways of thinking about things. Boy, there's nothing I cling more tightly to than my ideas, my way of seeing the world, right? That there are lots of things that we have been holding on to, and it's so hard for us to think, I just can't let go of this. I just can't let go of this because this is me. This is us. Without this, what could we possibly do? If we don't have these things, if we don't have this structure, if we don't have these institutions, if we don't have this way of doing church together, if we don't have this way of doing ministry together, if we don't have this, then who are we? And I want to say we're the people of God in the wilderness on a journey, and that there's going to be, what we need will come. It'll be just enough. It'll only be just in time. It's never going to come early. Sorry. Make you crazy, but it's true. And it's just for right now. Because whatever God's got in our hands right now, we're probably going to be releasing it anyway pretty soon. And then God's going to want to put something else in our hands to give it away. I don't know about you, but I think this promise is bigger than just the people of God. I think it's important for us to hear this for ourselves. I think it's really important for West Valley Presbyterian Church to hear it, because we're going to keep working our way through the wilderness, and I am certain I'm going to keep bringing this story back to you, because we're at all those moments in which scarcity thinking wants to grab hold of us, and we're like, oh my gosh, we're never going to make it this time. This is the thing that's really going to bankrupt the church. This is the thing that's really going to hurt us. And then we'll just go, you know, we ain't dead yet. And the God who called us into this life together as a community, He continues to provide for us. Well, what about abundance, Pastor Morgan? What about the big blessings? Well, here's the thing. The people of God lived on manna for 40 years in order to train them into God-centered dependence. And I didn't read it, though the text goes at great pains to describe the significance of collecting a double portion on Saturday. Right? The text goes into great significance to say, but on the sixth day, you're going to gather twice as much so that you don't have to gather on the seventh day, because the seventh day is the Sabbath unto the Lord, and the Lord rested on the seventh day when the Lord made creation, and you need to rest too. And we're all just going to chill for one day. You're going to chill, your kids are going to chill, your servants are going to chill, your animals are going to chill. We're all going to chill out for one day and just rest in this. 40 years they do this. But where's God sending them? Sending them to the promised land. And what do we know about the promised land? Flowing with milk and honey. That's right. God's using the wilderness experience to build into them a sense of reliance upon Him, because He knows that when they get to the promised land, they are going to be sorely tempted to believe that they are awesome on their own. That their greatness, their abundance, the fullness of that experience is because of that they're special, or that they work extra hard, or that they're good. And we know that when they get to the promised land, they forget. They start breaking the Sabbath. How is that possible? How is it that they could have spent 40 years living in such rich dependence upon God, only to get to the promised land, flowing with milk and honey, all this abundance, and they get compulsive all over again? You following me? People of Silicon Valley, are you following me here? How we have this amazing tendency that we go into the wilderness to learn deep lessons about reliance on God, and then we find ourselves in a new season of abundance and we forget all about it. A couple sitting in a big, way too big house with way too big cars, living in this incredible abundance, and they're getting a divorce and thinking to themselves, we had a better marriage in the salad years. That this didn't, all this stuff, all this money, all these things didn't actually make us happier. It didn't make us more fulfilled. It didn't make us feel more secure. It didn't make us feel more loved. Here we are alienated from one another, and this isn't working. God leads us through the wilderness as an act of loving grace. It's no fun. I didn't say it would be, but it is beautiful, because it's in the wilderness that we experience the miracle of the manna. It comes just enough, just in time, just for right now, and helps us to live into that fully. Facebook friend, reflecting on what was happening in Yemen, the profound starvation that's taking place amongst the people there. And she wondered aloud, you know what? Gosh, that shouldn't be that way, right? This isn't how life should be. That for every child that's killed by a bomb, I heard on the radio, 12 are killed by starvation. And this is that moment, friends, when we ask ourselves, where's God in all this? Well, I'll tell you where God isn't. God isn't in withholding food from children. You and I both know that there's plenty of food on planet Earth for everybody. Plenty of food. Praise be to God. So if somebody's starving in the world today, it's not because God's withholding the abundance of creation. It's because we as human beings are not living as manna people. It's because we've got another agenda going. And if we're going to be the church of Jesus Christ, who follows Jesus into this abundant kingdom work, inevitably we're going to need to remember that the promise of manna isn't just for God's people. It's for all people. It's a full, open claim. And whenever we, you know, I'm not trying to get super political today. I'm just here to say, if you're going to read this story and think about the abundance that God provides, and you notice that that is not lining up with the world, there's a justice issue. We as human beings need to live according to what this story is promising. That God will provide enough for everybody, just in time, and that there's no call for hoarding it. Because if we hoard it, if we withhold it, if we use our resources as a weapon against others, if we hold from them that what they need, this is the deepest violation of God's loving purposes. It's the deepest violation. And then we're called to live differently. It's hard, isn't it? It's hard to live as wilderness people. It's hard to trust in a God who is faithful time and time again, and yet
we know, God, I believe, help my unbelief. But that's what the wilderness teaches us. Maybe you've gone through wildernesses in your life. You remember it and you're basking in the fullness of what God's doing right now. Maybe you're in the midst of one right now in your life and you're wondering, gosh, well, how's this going to turn out? Maybe I know that God's been good to me in the past. God's cared for us in the past, but this time I just don't know. Wherever you are in that story, friends, know this, that this promise God made to the Israelites is still good today. I can testify to the truth of it in my own life. I bet a lot of you have as well. And my hope is that as you continue to walk your way through your own life, you'll notice how God has met you in this way. You know, wow, it's true. We had just enough. It came just in time. And it's just for right now. And we can rest in that. We can trust in that. And we can give generously because we trust in that. Amen? I invite you now in a few moments of silence. Perhaps to imagine yourself. It's early morning. You wake up hungry, wondering what the day will hold, and you step out of your tent, maybe for the 3,000th time. And there it is. There's that manna. Yeah, you're bored with it. Yeah, it's not as fancy as you'd like it to be. But it sustained you. It sustained you. It sustained all the people you love. It sustained your community. Your extended family. Everybody's doing okay. Everybody's got what they need. What would you say to God as you look out over all that manna? Begin the process of gathering what's yours to gather. Trusting that there'll be enough tomorrow when tomorrow comes. What would you say to God right now? Words of gratitude? Maybe the need to confess that after all this time you're still worried, still scared, still tempted to want to hoard, to keep more for yourself. Longing for the deep truth of God's care to really grab hold of your heart so that you never doubt it again. What would you say to God this morning? And now, by extension, pray for the people you know who really need God's provision right now. They need the larger communities to come around them. Those who have, maybe do indeed have an abundance of blankets and maybe had a great Thanksgiving with their communities, but they still have no home.
God, may your manna be present for all those who've lost so much because of fire. May we as a country take proper care of our neighbors. Find a way. Lord, we know that there are people around the world who aren't starving because there's not enough food to eat. They're starving because their governments will not allow food to get to them. Lord, break through those walls of violence, hatred. Callousness, apathy. Give us eyes to see how your kingdom is advancing in such places, Lord. We pray for those who have been living for years and years now as refugees. Economic, political, and indeed even now environmental refugees, Lord, throughout the world. Millions of people who are being barely sustained. And we pray for them too, that your abundance, your provision would be theirs. Lord, may the manna story come true for all of us. And may we come to see anew how good you are. Hear our silent cries of thanks and of longing. And all God's people said, Amen. For now, receive the benediction, the good word. May the Father who provides for us, the Spirit who unites us, and the Son who leads us into new life, draw us into the abundance that is His alone to provide. May we give that away generously to the world as we have received it and know His peace. Go now in thanksgiving. Amen. Amen. Go in peace.